The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of the first season of A Week of Lariat, our show to look back at significant matches in the career of a performer, and we chose Shinya Hashimoto first, and we are looking at matches from New Japan Pro Wrestling, from his career in New Japan. And Dylan, last time we talked about a very beloved match by a lot of fans and by the both of us, Hashimoto against Kazuo Yamasaki from 1998, and now we travel 2 years into the future, and we will be talking about Naoya Ogawa versus Shinya Hashimoto from New Japan Dome Impact in the Tokyo Dome.
That is correct. And this whole thing, there's so many different layers to this rivalry with Hashimoto and Ogawa right now. Definitely one of the definitive rivalries in his career, I would say. And essentially, Naoya Ogawa, he's essentially... this guy, he's a former, you know, like an Olympic judo guy, essentially. And he came into wrestling. Inoki loved Naoya Ogawa a lot, as his booking would tell you, pretty much. He loved him a lot. And essentially his plan, Inoki's plan, was to make Ogawa the next big star for New Japan. A lot of people were against this, even in the company, for the record. And unfortunately, because of Hashimoto's standing at the time, he kind of got thrown into the feud with Ogawa. Not just because of his standing, but also his style, his personality. It made for a bit of a natural rivalry. Hashimoto, similar to what we talked about in the Takada and a little bit of the Yamazaki match, but especially the Takada match, where Hashimoto would represent New Japan and Inokiism versus real martial arts or MMA or whatever you want to call Ogawa. And that's really the basis of their feud right now. And Ogawa, infamously, there was an incident where, you know, basically Ogawa shot on Hashimoto, like allegedly. Like, that's kind of a thing.
Yeah. So that's the thing about this match. Was it really a shoot?
Exactly.
Would you say it is in parts comparable to the Montreal Screwjob?
Yeah, sort of. If you believe it, because this was just such a weird era of New Japan. We just don't know for sure, you know, because Inokiism was running. This was really the tailspin of when things would get bad, pretty much, I feel like. But to me, I don't know. I can't say for sure.
Like, I really don't think it was a proper shoot, especially because the two became a tag team afterwards in 0-1. And that happened... very quickly. It's not like Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, who hugged 15 to 20 years later. This happened right away after the match, like 2 years later. And the thing about this is that the match itself didn't come across as something that would be considered a screw job. It was just this weird timing in New Japan where it was supposed to look much more real. And to put this a little bit into perspective is that I'm reading from Chris Charlton's book Eggshells right here. There was a documentary on World Pro Wrestling, the TV show for New Japan Pro Wrestling, a one-hour special documenting Hashimoto's supposed final match, this one against Naoya Ogawa, because he had said that he would retire if he would lose the match. He went to the venue, was defeated by Ogawa, press conference, official meeting, and announced his retirement. Hashimoto had cameras following him several days, and the documentary closed on the single line of the text at 34, Shinya Hashimoto stands at a crossroads. So This match, the two, Hashimoto and Naoya Ogawa, had four prior singles meetings before this match happened. Two of them came in 1997. I believe it was Naoya Ogawa's very first singles match.
Yeah, and this guy was so... Yeah, he was so green when he came to New Japan.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, so the two first singles matches... I believe he... Yeah, most of his matches were singles matches. His first match was against Shinya Hashimoto. He won it. It was supposed to be a different style fight. Different style fight was a moniker that New Japan used back in the day to emphasize the MMA influence. It wasn't really an MMA match. In most cases, it was an MMA fighter against a pro wrestler in a pro wrestling rules setting with some kind of Inoki rules added to them, right?
Yeah.
So Ogawa won the first one by a referee decision in 97 at Battle Formation 1997 in the Tokyo Dome, and the second match came in Osaka, in the Osaka Dome, at New Japan's Strong Style Evolution in Osaka Dome. Hashimoto defended the IWGP Heavyweight title against Naoya Ogawa, May 3rd, 97. Naoya Ogawa went on to have some more different style fights. He beat Yamazaki, lost to the Great Muta, beat Scott Norton, Brian Johnston, Erwin Vreka, and then lost to Don Fry, beat Don Fry, and so on and so forth. He had some matches, and he even won the NWA World title in 1999, and still was the champion in this bout here, if I'm correct, because I think he brought the belt to the ring.
Yeah.
Yes, so he did. And, well, this match then happened, and as I mentioned, Ogawa coming to the ring as the NWA World Champion at a point in time where this was the biggest gathering of people that saw the NWA World title for a long, long time.
Hey.
And interesting again was that Tatsumi Fujinami was very closely watching ringside. He was watching Hashimoto's entrance, and the entrance for Hashimoto was huge. The fans popped for him so loudly. And the match starts. Hashimoto goes in hard right away, and Ogawa clinches him to stop Hashimoto, but Hashimoto is able to take down Ogawa very early on. And Ogawa takes down Hashimoto with punches and kicks him to the ground before the ref breaks it up. Hashimoto rolls out of the ring, and they again show Fujinami looking closely. On the outside, it seems that Hashimoto begins to think about what's happening inside the ring, because he's stalling for a long, long time. For like 2 or 3 minutes, he was outside of the ring. And Naoya Ogawa was getting upset. Cut to Inoki, sitting ringside, watching very calmly. The crowd gets upset as well, and it takes him about 2 minutes to get back in the ring. What did you make of this, Dylan?
I thought it was interesting because Fujinami had power at this point.
Yeah.
Backstage, as well as Inoki. Like, those were the two power guys in terms of booking at this point in time. And they, like you said, they kept going at him. I didn't know what this was trying to parlay, other than maybe something did go wrong. They were trying to get that across. I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Like, this whole thing is so confusing to me, even 19 years later. Like, you got to understand, and I apologize. I wish I could give you... I'm trying to give you the facts of it, but my opinion is completely confused the more we even talk about this match right now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, see, because it's so... We'll just get into it. We'll continue. But what happened next?
Yeah, so Ogawa, they used this giant ramp in New Japan, and Shinya Hashimoto is on the ramp, and Ogawa shoves the ref away, which gives Hashimoto the opportunity for a leg sweep. And that looked great, actually. And then he swarms down on Ogawa with mounted punches. But then things break down when Katsunari Murakami, of all people, interfere in the match and saves Ogawa. He was there ringside with him.
Now, this is playing off an incident where on January 4th, Ogawa and Murakami teamed up against Hashimoto and Iizuka, which was an absolutely phenomenal match, by the way. One of the best matches in New Japan of the decade, in my opinion. I loved that match a lot. This I don't love as much. And also in that match, I have to mention that Iizuka actually got the win over Murakami in the Tokyo Dome. And that set up this match because Hashimoto and Ogawa brawled after it. But Ogawa and Murakami were like a team pretty much right now.
Yeah. So Murakami is there interfering. And now Hashimoto has to wait for Ogawa coming back into the ring. In the ring, Hashimoto gets him down, and he kicks him into the corner, out to the ramp, and hits his DDT. So, to this point, not really a shoot. It was more of a wrestling match.
Yeah.
And then back in, Ogawa gets a takedown and goes for mounted punches himself. Hashimoto tries to leg lock Ogawa, and the kick takes Ogawa down. And it's fairly even by this point of the match. Like, they fight for standing control, and they cut to Seiichi Sakaguchi there as another powerful person in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Everything looks fine at this point. Then, Ogawa does a leg lock that doesn't get him anywhere but to the ropes, and then Ogawa starts to drag down Hashimoto with an STO. He doesn't really hit an STO, he drags him down.
Yeah.
He takes him by the neck and drags him down with the STO, the Space Tornado Ogawa, which he calls it. And he does it again. Mm-hmm. Hashimoto looks hurt, but he's the first up and hits a jumping elbow to the back and applies his cross arm breaker. And then the match ends. Third STO by Ogawa. Hashimoto can't do anything. He does a kick, but Hashimoto, he's not able to do anything against Ogawa anymore. Ogawa hits two more STOs, then a rear neck choke that Hashimoto is able to fight free from. That looked really tight, to be honest.
Yeah, like I said, they were getting in on this, and this was kind of the basis of their feud in a lot of ways. When you look at it right here, everything looked more real. Just the weirdness, but I liked what they did there, and I thought they had actually, in all honesty, despite what I think about it on a booking scale per se, I thought there was some great drama in this right now with what they were doing here. I liked the struggle that they had. It was very well done, in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. It was well done. But then it goes back to the STO. Not more STOs. The New Japan upper brass looks concerned as Ogawa finally hits the sixth STO and Hashimoto gets counted out. He looks exhausted, he's down in the ring, and his head gets covered by a towel as he lies there in shame. And then Fujinami gets up to look after him. He gets into the ring, but Hashimoto doesn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Really, and Inoki then goes to the ring. Hashimoto bows down to him, and Inoki ends the show like he always does.
Well, you know, listen, when you have a finish like this, you need the big star to save the crowd. I think it's safe to say. As a match itself, I'm just going to go on the match itself for what it was. I thought, again, what I said, they had some really great drama here. I like that, Hashimoto, he had kind of a little bit of a new look here with the hair.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a new look, but he changed his hair up a little bit. They had some good stuff. Once it went all to the STOs, which was where I think they kind of killed the crowd, first of all, on top of it. It felt like that, the crowd was not as into it as they were at the start, by the end of this, obviously, considering the finish. But I just think that you can't really look at this finish and the fact that this whole storyline, really, this is playing off of another work shoot that they had. You mentioned it a little bit, the January 4th, 1999 match, which is very famous match of theirs. It's like a 5-minute match that's allegedly a shoot, although I don't really think it is. Mm-hmm. Much like this match. But it just bad booking, very bad booking in the 1999 version. Because this all really kind of killed Hashimoto in New Japan, when you think about it, And that's my problem. Not the match itself. because I thought they had some good stuff going. I thought Hashimoto did an absolutely fantastic job carrying this lump, more or less, through this match. And then they went with the STOs, and I think they all lost it. And the finish was just mind-boggling in a lot of ways, because the problem is this was the climax of their feud. And, like, what other story that you've ever seen, what other German tale, fairy tale that you've heard, Striga, ends with the heroic hero losing in the most miserable way possible, pretty much, with six STOs and getting counted out?
Yeah.
That's just not good storytelling to me on any way.
No, especially not if you do it with a guy who is so beloved by the fans, like Shinya Hashimoto still was by that point in time. It's, mind-boggling, as you said it. Inoki's idea of pushing guys at this point in time was very curious, to say the least.
Yeah.
And, so this match was supposed to be his retirement match, Shinya Hashimoto's retirement match. He was so popular that he returned to New Japan Pro Wrestling for a match in October of 2000. Where Kotetsu Yamamoto was the special referee, and he beat Tatsumi Fujinami in that match to kind of regain a little bit of, what did he regain?
He didn't regain anything. No. What that was all about was he wrestled that match as a young lion again, kind of like he was starting over.
Yeah.
He had a new young lion attire and crap. But that didn't last long, because I think at this point, this match with the retirement and all that, first of all, they had already kind of booked him into oblivion with this Ogawa stuff. Like I said, the 1999 match was a lot worse than this one, and I'm thankful we didn't watch that one. Instead, because that was the finger poke of doom of New Japan, for Hashimoto, because I can't stress how damaging that was. And it was not a shoot, in my opinion, at all, but that was the reputation it had for many years. But if you remember in that match, there was actually a ref bump in that match. So that told me that wasn't a shoot. This one, they tried a little bit more, where it seemed like they were working at first, and then things went wrong and it became a shoot. Like, that was what I think they were trying to portray. It became real, quote-unquote, afterwards. I just don't think it was very smart. It is the problem when you think about it, because just from the storyline perspective, and I think when this finish happened how it did, you mentioned he didn't want any part of that with Fujinami. I think Hashimoto was already... Because remember, he had already wanted to start his own company, yes. At this point, his subway.
Yeah.
Pretty much. He was just going to be called Zero, not 01 at this point.
Yeah, it was supposed to be New Japan Zero. Or New Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling Zero was supposed to be founded in the year 2000. That didn't come about. So Hashimoto, I think he was fired by New Japan even in November 2000.
Yeah.
And he then founded a promotion by the name of Pro Wrestling 01. And the idea behind that was that there was a little bit of room in Japanese pro wrestling at that point. Even though Pro Wrestling Noah had been founded in 2002, War had collapsed. And so Hashimoto's idea was to do kind of a super indie promotion with 01 Pro Wrestling. And he took some guys with him. On January 25, 2001, he officially resigned from New Japan Pro Wrestling, it's what Wikipedia tells me here, with his intentions to form an own group, and he took Shinjiro Tani, Tatsuya Takaiwa with him, and a sales department guy by the name of Yoshiyuki Nakamura, and formed 01 Pro Wrestling. And 01, from the get-go, was pretty successful. The first show drew about 11,000 people to Sumo Hall. Main event was Nurakiyama and Mitsuharu Misawa against Hashimoto and Nagata. Interesting that a New Japan guy was in here, and it kind of went back and forth with the 01 and New Japan. Hashimoto even returned very closely after founding this new promotion, where he defeated Kensuke Sasaki in a no-rules match at New Japan Strong Style 2001, almost 1 year later after the Naoya Ogawa match. And yep. He returned in 2002 as well, when he was in a tag team with Naoya Ogawa as the OH Gun. A very successful tag team in 01, won the NWA Intercontinental Tag Team titles as well. And, he kind of became the ace of his own promotion and also went to All Japan Pro Wrestling to win the Triple Crown there. And always had Naoya Ogawa on his side.
Yeah, the funny thing about that is they became best friends when they were the 01, pretty much. And this all started, like I said, because of Hashimoto and all of his heat backstage in New Japan. Mm. At the end, obviously. Despite all of that, he always respected Inoki, you know? Despite for whatever reason that is. They always had this weird connection. And even when Hashimoto and Ogawa became friends, Inoki was actually really happy about that they put it together. So that was all very interesting. 01 is a whole other can of worms. pretty much. But for this match and this feud with Ogawa, they'll always be connected through all of their matches. Each one, you know, this one that we watched was probably the most even of them all, even compared to the one he won. So I thought it was somewhat interesting how this all played out, because he respected Inoki so much, even after he left. But Inoki was the one that really killed him, for Ogawa, really, more than anything. So it's kind of crazy how deep those ties lasted for when it comes to Hashimoto, Inoki, and Ogawa, all kind of connected.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. It's a crazy time in New Japan. And to put that all together is not easy. But I hope we did a good job here. It's kind of a baffling match, but glad that we talked about it.
Yeah, I'm glad we talked about it too. But and this whole feud really has like a bunch of baffling matches. this was the final straw pretty much for him. And like you said, he basically said he would retire if he lost. And then things got muddled up for no real reason. But, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't really know what Inoki was thinking with all of this. And it really didn't work out with Ogawa in New Japan. He wasn't really a long-term next star.
No.
And everybody went against it. You know, everybody was against this, pretty much. You know, nobody wanted this except for Inoki. That's the craziest part of all this.
Yeah, you just have to bear in mind that Naoya Ogawa left New Japan, too. So,
yeah.
They destroyed two stars.
Yeah, like I said, it's a really frustrating time. This was definitely one of the peaks. Probably not the peak. Probably when he put Nagata in with, like, Crow Cop was probably the peak.
Peak Inokiism.
This was the near peak of crazy Inoki. That like, pretty much, this Ogawa and Hashimoto feud. And it was really, if you think about it, it was totally unnecessary. Like, all of this was going... Look at what we watched just on yesterday's episode.
Yeah.
With Yamazaki. Everything looked awesome for him. Super over, amazing win, big star. And so, then Ogawa. You know, like, what? You know, how does that make sense? That doesn't... that's not computing in my mind right now. You know, so I can only kind of judge it as a match itself and this feud for what it was. Like we said, Inoki trying to make wrestling more real, I guess, in his own way. It didn't really work. Even that didn't work, because when Pride got so big, that did a huge blow to New Japan. Exactly. So really, none of this actually worked business-wise. like literally no parts of this were successful we're talking about right now.
Like, it's very popular to go back and say that New Japan actually was successful with that. Short-term?
Nope.
Short-term,
no.
They were successful because they drew big crowds for the Tokyo Dome. But in a long-term, this hurt them incredibly. They lost a main event player, and they lost faith with their own fans.
The crowds were into these matches.
Yes.
Like I said, go back and watch those that tag team match from January 4, 2000 I told you all about.
Mm-hmm.
That crowd was going insane. And this crowd was into it at the start. They gave Hashimoto a huge pop. But like I said, by the end, the weak finish, and kind of just the dog. And you got to understand, Ogawa was not a very good worker in ring from a traditional sense. You know, he had a shoot style that he could bring in, I suppose, but he wasn't really a good wrestler on his own. And that kind of hurt it too, you know, especially compared to somebody like Hashimoto. And whatever good came from these matches, in my opinion, were mostly Hashimoto. But like we said, basically, like, no, this was not successful. I promise. I'm not trying to lie to you. I promise it was very unsuccessful long term. And yes, this did work for a little bit. And the crowd was into it, into these matches. But I think really this moment, this match we watched, even more than the 1999 match that I mentioned as a finger poke of doom, this was really the straw that broke the camel's back. And we saw it with the people leaving the company that we just talked about.
Yes.
So don't tell me it's successful on this, because, you know, like, no. But, yeah, did you like the match at least?
Well, it was okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's neither really bad nor really good. I thought it was an okay match. The finish dragged it down. The part before the finish was actually pretty good.
And that's exactly my feeling. Like, it was a really good match, and then the finishing stretch really took everything down. And there was just this whole thing had just... Didn't it just have, like, a weird vibe to you watching this?
Yeah.
Like, didn't it just feel weird watching it?
That may be because we know what happened afterwards in retrospective, and we can go and point at things that happened after it. I don't really know how I would have watched the match live. That's a different question.
Yeah. Just like that stuff we talked about with Inoki and Fujinami, you know, we probably wouldn't have even noticed that live as anything. It would have been a weird moment, but I think that was weird. Like, I just think that was kind of a weird moment anyway. But, you know, this whole thing was just kind of crazy. I'm glad we got to talk about this feud, because it honestly is a really interesting thing. Like, all of the perspectives we had from Inoki, Hashimoto, even Ogawa, even though he was kind of just like the guy that Inoki chose, or really anything, allegedly Inoki's spiritual successor in a lot of ways. So it was just a really interesting time, even though I didn't really, you know, I didn't really feel it at all in the grand scheme of things. And yeah, but it did lead to Hashimoto starting his own company. So you can take that as
for some time, 01 was really successful and brought many fans like me to Japanese pro wrestling.
Yep, same here. Strig, this is that was one of the first companies I watched, even though it was long after he died.
Yeah,
in my case, that was still one of the first companies I really got into in Japanese wrestling. So
that's a topic for another day.
Let me ask you one question before we move on. What do you think? Let's just imagine, like, we're gonna fantasy book this. Imagine Hashimoto won this match with the vertical drop brainbuster, huge moment, gets carried out, blah, 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 and everything's fine, like, everybody's happy in the end, and they started Pro Wrestling Zero. What would Hashimoto's future would have been if they didn't do all this stupid stuff with Ogawa?
I believe, knowing Japanese pro wrestling and the habits of everybody starting their own companies, even if New Japan Zero had started as a side project of New Japan Pro Wrestling, eventually...
You could have only imagined that would have been something similar to WrestleLand or, like, Black when Chono tried to do that later.
Yes, but still, I think the split would have happened nonetheless. You mentioned it that Hashimoto had backstage heat. Maybe they would have kind of told the fans that they wanted to work together, but now they want to go separate ways, blah, 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 like they usually do when they want to just split and have backstage falling outs. I believe the split would have happened nonetheless.
Yeah, I think so. The fact that he was even considering that option of trying to start his own thing kind of makes you think that that would have happened. Like I said, I could have seen them trying to make it something like a WrestleLand. Or, you know, try if they wanted to go that far. Or maybe it just would have ended up being a faction, for all we know, and not really a full group.
Yeah.
But, like you said, the fact that he was already thinking about this tells you that he had his eye on his own thing, pretty much. And, you know, like I said, he had heat, but also they had heat with him, too, at the time for this stupid booking, probably, in all likelihood. So it really went both ways, and I don't think their partnership could have lasted forever. I would have liked to have seen, because imagine this. Imagine if he was the one that Inoki put into Pride to face Krokop and Fedor, because it probably would have been him. It probably would have been him if it wasn't Nagata.
You know, if Hashimoto was still there. Hashimoto's career was much better that he hit the bricks.
That's true, because he would have been the one that got killed in Pride, and that would have ruined his aura. And that was really what made him, you know, was his aura. So if anything, these matches did at least allow him to keep that overall. But still, though, yeah, it was really fun talking about this. So hopefully everybody enjoyed this episode, even though I think this is kind of a really forgotten period, because New Japan actually took all these matches off World.
Yeah.
Like the 99.
Exactly. Yeah. I had to go to a Japanese streaming website to find this match. It was really poor quality, but I still managed to watch it. Yeah, crazy times. Now Yonogawa had all of his matches taken down from New Japan World very early on when New Japan World first started.
Yeah, crazy things, man. You know, crazy times these early 2000s were.
Yeah. All right, so much for the sixth episode. We will be back with the final episode of the first season, Shinya Hashimoto and New Japan Pro Wrestling, tomorrow. それも大人の勲章だって時の重さを噛み締めに来ている